Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Expro India Limited Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhaskar, Managing Director and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, friends. I extend a very warm welcome to all participants in this Q4 and FY 2024 earnings call. I introduce myself once again as C. Bhaskar, Managing Director and CEO of Expro India Limited. Today on this call, I have with me Mr. Vinay Kumar Agarwal, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Kamal Sevda, our Company Secretary, and Mr. Shobhit from our Finance Department. I am particularly happy to have the attendance of our Chairman, Mr. Siddharth Birla, who, while not participating, wishes to hear your views and our interactions firsthand. Orient Capital, our investment relations partner, is, as always, coordinating this session. We are continuing the practice started a couple of years ago of hosting this annual conference call for our investor community with the intent of keeping investors and analysts familiar with an update about our annual results and major developments. I have had opportunity to meet some of you at earlier calls or at the AGM or otherwise, so I shall not dwell on introducing our company. We are transparent in our approach, but I must state that all discussions here will be within boundaries reasonably imposed by our strategic and competitive position and, of course, legal requirements where applicable. As you are all aware, Expro India Limited is a diversified multi-locational company focused on polymer processing with very strong governance standards. The company is family-led and is a professionally managed arm of India's largest and reputed industrial house, the Birlas. We currently have manufacturing facilities at Greater Noida in UP, Ranjangaon in Maharashtra, and Barjora in West Bengal. Our operating units have built up special skills and competencies in the specialized field of co-extrusion with application in the manufacture of oriented films, multilayer plastic sheets, and multilayer cast plastic films. Thermoforming supports downstream processes for sheets. Our results for FY 2023-24, together with quarterly results, have been uploaded on stock exchange portals, and you may have had an opportunity to go through the press release and presentation that we have uploaded to the exchange sites and on our own website. Coming to a quick review of key business matters. India, the world's fastest-growing large country, is expanding annually at 6%-7%. Private sector confidence is reportedly at its highest since 2010. Resilience in manufacturing, massive infrastructure spend, a respectable agricultural output, increasing direct and indirect tax collections, and strong foreign exchange reserves all portend well for sustained growth. Improvements to infrastructure and logistical costs can be expected. Job creation remains an urgent priority. Of course, the usual overall risks, including but not limited to policy and monetary policy changes, geopolitics, inflation, and climate will always remain. However, recent reports do indicate there are expectations of a good monsoon, signs of a pickup in rural demand, and slowing inflation. There could be a durable broad-based improvement in consumption. Coming to our own performance during Q4 and 2023-24, I am happy to state that the company continued to deliver a strong performance reflecting our manufacturing and marketing capabilities and our strong track record as a key supplier in both the white goods and dielectric segments. The Barjora dielectric film line maintained its dynamic performance, operating at almost full capacity and consistently adapting to produce thinner films. This helped align our product mix and capabilities with current opportunities with our clients. Enhancements were made to the thickness measurement and control systems, necessitating a brief planned downtime time, as we have discussed earlier also. We believe that favorable market conditions will continue to support our operations. The company holds the pole position as the leading and first mover Indian manufacturer of premium dielectric BOPP films and is recognized in advanced markets for product quality, innovation and service standards. We have cultivated our own development capabilities and compete on strong terms against products from manufacturers even in places like Japan, Korea, China and Europe. Due to the need to align capacity with domestic demand, we have had to temporarily moderate exports. The sectors of electric vehicles, EVs and alternative energy are promising for our company's range of competencies. Consumer durables, including refrigerators, manufactured by our OEM customers, key client base for co-extruded sheets and thermoformed liners, manufactured at our Ranjangaon and Greater Noida units, faced difficult market conditions during the first half of the year, as would have been seen in the quarterly results. The offtakes for consumer durables saw a limited revival in the third quarter and onwards in anticipation of the festival season and recovery. The white goods markets improved to some extent towards year-end, and one may expect revitalized demand in coming periods. But competitive demands on our kinds and products frequently translates to pressure on our pricing. The government's PLI scheme has likely tempted some refrigerator manufacturers to create sheet capacity for a part of their requirements. Nevertheless, our flexibility with multiple lines, skills and track record built up over years and our focus on reliability and operational efficiency means most leading brands remain our notable clients. Now considering the Q4 performance. Revenue from operations was Rs. 128.41 crores against Rs. 124.27 crores in Q4 FY23, registering a small growth of about 3% on a year-on-year basis. Production volumes themselves were almost 20% higher at 7,964 tons, while sales volumes, or actual physical dispatch volumes, were 9% higher at 7,047 MT against 6,454 in the corresponding period last year. Further, material valued at about Rs. 1.4 crores was in transit due to Red Sea-related shipping delays and accordingly was not included in sales as per applicable accounting standards. EBITDA of the dielectric film segment, as well as that of the co-extruded sheets and cast film segments, improved in Q4 on a YOY basis. However, the overall EBITDA fell from 15% to 13% on a Q4 YOY basis in view of the higher share of co-extruded sheets like films business in that quarter. PBT in the overall was higher by 8.5% at 16.52 crores for the quarter, including of other income. We continue to see sustained domestic demand for Expro's Biax dielectric films, with our market share still at over 30%, with the balance being substantially met through imports. The hot summers that we are now experiencing have also contributed to a healthy outlook for the consumer durables business, with refrigerator manufacturers looking to revitalize and strong demand. Now coming to the full year FY24 performance. Our performance continues to reflect the overall climate in our markets, the impact of strategic steps taken during the last few years, and our position as a key supplier to the growing white goods and dielectric segments. Aggregate production during the year grew by 4.8% to 27,891 tons against 26,607 tons last year, excluding toll manufacture from the erstwhile unit which we discontinued in the previous year. Overall sales value, however, was lower by 8.9% at ₹465.41 crores. The fall in sales value reflects the net impact of the lower polymer prices prevailing through much of the year, discontinuation of toll manufacture at the erstwhile packaging film unit following completion of transfer in October 2022, which had meant a reduction of 5 crores in the sales value, export consignment of approximately ₹1.144 crores, as I mentioned earlier, being still on high seas due to extended sailing times on account of the Red Sea situation. In this background, the sales of dielectric films were ₹145.89 crores against ₹156 crores previous year. Co-extruded sheets and liners were at ₹255.64 crores and the cast co-extrude film sales were at ₹59.38 crores against ₹53 crores in the previous year. Other operating income was at ₹4.5 crores against ₹4 crores in the previous year. Production costs were controlled with productivity enhancements, and together they contributed to an operational PBIDT of ₹66.1 crores against ₹74.4 crores in the previous year, with the EBITDA margin being maintained at fairly similar levels, with the level being at 14.2% in the year against 14.5% in the previous year. Overall, PBIDT, including other income, was at ₹78.33 crores, very, very marginally higher than that of the previous year when it was ₹78.28 crores. Continuing to reduce term loans for existing operations, during the year, we prepaid ₹15.31 crores of outstanding working capital term loans under the Guaranteed Emergency Credit Line government guaranteed schemes, which were actually repaid well before schedule. There are now no outstanding term borrowings for existing operations and accordingly no repayment liabilities in the current year. Interest and other finance costs were also accordingly lower at rupees 5 crores against rupees 7.5 crores in the previous year. Profit before exceptional items and tax was rupees 62.18 crores against rupees 59.23 crores in the previous years. We had an exceptional item of rupees 2.02 crores being a right to recompense exercised by our consortium bankers pertaining to a commitment of 2016, notwithstanding our demonstrated creditable performance on prepayment of outstanding borrowings over the last few years. Accordingly, profit before tax was rupees 60.16 crores against rupees 59.23 crores in the previous year. Global recognition for Expro products remains strong. Exports of dielectric films, however, were curtailed due to capacity constraints, while the exports of other extruded sheets and films were significantly higher bringing total exports to rupees 13.4 crores against rupees 17.4 crores in the previous year. Net debt to equity stood at 0.07 times and delivered a healthy ROE of 17.5% on the capital utilized through much of the year and 11.5% on the expended capital at the end of the year. It is material that we look at on the capital actually utilized through much of the year because the enhancement in capital happened only in March. The ROCE on the expanded capital was about 11%, whereas it was around 25% in the case of the original capital, which was utilized through much of the year. The board has recommended a dividend of rupees 2 per equity share on the expanded capital of the company. Some other important developments include: in July 23, Malabar India Fund exercised their full entitlement for the warrants they held, and accordingly 24.6 lakh shares, including bonus shares, were allotted to them as per their entitlement. Further capital raises were announced in the year under review to help support our strategic vision of building global significance in the dielectric films industry. We were delighted to receive shareholder approvals at the EGM held on January 16, 2024 for raising up to 140 crores via warrants issued on a preferential basis and up to 150 crores via qualified institutions placement. We are pleased that the company's offerings triggered keen interest from reputable, informed and judicious investors, and in a very short time, the company could complete both offerings by issuing and allotting during the year. Total capital raised during the year was approximately rupees 290 crores. Let me now update you on the capacity additions in progress. I think many of you are waiting to hear this actually. The first phase of expansion to double capacity at the existing location at Barjora is well underway. Significant progress has been made on implementation at the brownfield site, and management believes that we are on track to achieve operations in the current year as announced earlier. While the possibility that European supply chain issues may delay the arrival of some equipment, and this fact cannot be fully ruled out, but at the present moment, any significant delay in the broad timeline announced is not evident. As per our earlier announcements, the second new line was to be set up at another appropriate location. After a careful study of relevant factors and as a step towards enlarging our successful footprint in the dielectric film industry's global supply chain, our board has approved the setting up of a subsidiary in the United Arab Emirates. A wholly owned subsidiary is being incorporated as a limited liability company in the free trade zone in the Emirate of Ras Al Khaimah within the United Arab Emirates. Core equipment is already on order and work on the ground will begin shortly so as to align with our articulated intent of starting operations there in the financial year 2025-26. These new lines each represent the largest investments undertaken by the company. The expansion is expected to enhance our domestic first mover advantage, besides helping achieve a globally worthy capacity and market standing and even greater credibility as a supplier of state-of-the-art dielectric film products and intelligent solutions. Furthering our sustainability initiatives and in accordance with the agreement with the Tata Power Group, the company acquired 26% of the equity capital and rights thereof in TP Mercury Limited for rupees 1.35 crores. The installation of generation equipment, of solar power generation equipment, is approximately 90% complete. Tata Power had communicated some delays in transmission system. However, we anticipate that the supply of lower cost solar energy through open access to the company's Ranjangaon unit would commence well before December this year. With this, I open the floor to any questions and answers. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have two main questions with respect to dielectric films, both of which pertain to the overall market and your strategy, right? Firstly, before I get into that, could you disclose how much of your production in dielectric films is actually in the 6 to 7 micron range or thereabouts? Is it possible to disclose that?
Pranay, thank you for your question. Point number one, the exact gauge distribution is something that you will appreciate is almost a trade secret. So honestly speaking, I would not like to disclose the exact distribution. However, that said, let me tell you that in India today, modal consumption, and I'm using the word modal very generically, is in the 6, 7, 8 micron thickness.
Right.
Does that sort of answer your question?
Yes, that answers the question and also helps me move into my next question. So I was trying to understand how the, you know, in the overall market, and primarily the data I've used is import data. I've tried to understand two things. One is, at all are films getting thinner over the years, number one. Number two, how are the different film ranges in terms of thickness, how are they priced, and then thirdly and lastly, who are these guys who are exporting to India, and just categorizing them into two categories, Chinese and non-Chinese. So what I observed was the weighted average thickness, if there is any sense in that word, which is simply weighted by the quantity in tons imported and then the micron thickness, is actually very, very steady at 6.5 microns for the last 10 years. And if I look at the sub-3 micron range, I'm not even talking sub-2, sub-3 microns, there the market seems to be very, very, very small, right? So I'm just trying to think, basis the line we have installed in India and which would start soon, what thickness range exactly are you targeting and what blended realizations do you see for the new line, you know, vis-a-vis your existing line?
Okay, let me answer your last question first. You will again appreciate that the blended realization on plans are a subject for a call, right? But having said that, let me tell you two things. One, when we talk about a line capability, it talks about a range capability. So these new lines will have a capability, let's say 2 micron upwards, against a higher range in the existing lines. So it gives us the capability to meet a wider range of the market requirements, point one. Point number two, much of the import data that you see, since we also keep monitoring it, is actually a large assemblage of numbers where it's rather difficult to extract too much data from, because when you talk about dielectric film import or a capacitor film import, you will find they don't really always distinguish between a metallized film and a plain film. So when you look at this number, you will see sometimes the price variances are dramatic. And that is because it could be metallized or it could be not metallized. It could be high heat resistant or different types of films. All I'm trying to say is that that data would need a lot more careful analysis.
Got it.
Thirdly, more important, the trend globally is towards thinner films. Thinner films are applicability and application is going up. It's definitely increasing and it is going, it will become more and more as we go more towards the EVs and towards the things like the solar segment. That said, Indian consumers have not yet jumped in a big way because of the uncertain availability yet, or the lack of availability from a domestic source of thinner films. With the availability of thinner films, they would change when there is more certain availability. Remember, once the spec is changed for their product and for their end user product, then the supply has to be consistent. And that is one reason why this change will take time. I'm not saying it will take a very long time, but it will certainly take months. Now, having said that, when we start our new lines, of course we will start at the model range and then move downwards. So the lines will deliver market requirement. These are not standard products produced and stocked and sold. They are produced against confirmed requirements, designed in consultation with the customers. So there is that one requirement. Also, let me tell you, there is a pretty strong export demand, which also we intend. We are already doing it. We've been constrained dramatically during this year by capacity. But the inquiry and the serious intent is very, very strong to export to the Western world. I don't think we'll export too much to Southeast Asia or the Far East because of China, as you yourself said. So that is a summary. I think I've answered most of your questions.
Got it, sir. That is a brilliant answer indeed. My last question is on competition, and this also alludes to that I broke up the market into Chinese and non-Chinese. And what I noticed was, on an average basis, every year of the last 10 years, the Chinese guys were at least 20% cheaper than the non-Chinese guys. And in the latest fiscal year, both of them were in the range of 500 to 600 per kilo. Now, obviously, metallized, other characteristics, you were right, there is possibility that that is muddling the numbers. But the point is that I'm trying to understand who will you replace, right? Let's say the first time the line starts, day one, week one, month one, whose demand are you taking away? Is it the Chinese?
I've got your answer. Remember, stage one, India is today importing approximately 70% of its requirement of what we call base films. There are other types of films which are different, which also will be offered for the same application or similar application. But when I come to the fact that the first thing that we will target is this percent which is being imported into India. Of course, when I say first thing, it's other than the exports. Now, within this, yes, there is Chinese material. There are Indian players trying to play the game. Certainly there. And it's not correct to assume that dielectric film is a single product. There are a number of specs, there are a number of applications, each one requiring different formulation, different specs, most importantly, different rigor of application. Now, we would work towards substituting only at the upper end of that band, not at the lower band. So I would be happy if a Chinese product continues to cater to the lower end of the market, because it actually leaves me free, capacity free, to meet the higher value added ends. Now that, some of it you would have seen through the price differences. Yes, I know we are more expensive than Chinese film, but then I guess if you offer a engineered product with a guaranteed, when I say guarantee, I don't mean a physical guarantee, but with a moral guarantee for performance, you have to be higher priced, right? Or you deserve to be higher priced. I'm sure you'll agree.
Got it, sir. Thanks for answering my questions. I'll get back to the queue. All the best.
Thank you, Pranay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Romil Jain from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Perfectly well, Mr. Roman.
First question is, if you can throw some more details on whether we see the capacity coming up in, let's say, Q or Q1 or, you know, more from a quarter angle, which quarter do we concentrate, focus more on? That is question, you know, one. Second is, we do not see more of a CWIP or any advances that you would have given for this CapEx. So when would we start, you know, seeing some kind of CapEx there, or numbers in the balance sheet? And third question is, in terms of capacity building, I'm just trying to understand globally what kind of capacities are coming up. Because if you know, you order today and it takes 3-4 years for the order to come, whether it is difficult to manufacture at the manufacturer level or they are also having more orders globally, and hence it is taking more time. So yeah, I mean, these are the three questions.
Okay. Thank you, Romil. Somehow I have noted down two questions, but if I leave out something, feel free to interject.
Let you know. Yeah, yeah.
Now, your first question was, in which quarter do we start? We have all along maintained that we will be operational definitely for the third and fourth quarters of this year, which I mean is the second half. In our current reckoning, we don't see any change on that. We should be operational definitely in the third quarter of the current fiscal.
Okay.
I trust that answers your first question.
Yeah.
Okay. Your second question was regarding CWIP. One reason you are not seeing very much of CWIP is simply because some of it would be in capital advance for new plant, not necessarily as capital work in progress, because some of it is also in the capital advance. So that's two. Point number three.
The number on that, how much was it sitting there?
One second. I'll tell you the third one, which is the most significant one.
Yeah.
Is that if I take the key lines, the key lines are 85% funded by, 85% of their costs are actually funded by supplier credit in the nature of an ECB, right? So which is things like Hummus backed, which are insurance backed. So those actually trigger in later. So you'll find at one point there will be a single massive entry, which will add to it when that payment is made out.
Okay.
These are the reasons why you're not seeing them. But suffice it to say, the payments are galloping now, so because we are at the tail end or almost at the tail end of the project, of the first project at least. So naturally, you will see payments galloping every month at this point of time. So probably when you see the June quarter results, wherever you'll see much more would have been already been paid out.
Okay. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
The third question was on the capacity buildup by the global players. Why,
Right. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. I mentioned I missed the third question. So right. So, on that, let me tell you, there are very few, very, very few, in fact, good quality or capable people to produce lines, even for simple biaxially oriented materials, whether it's polypropylene or polyester. Now, within this, the bulk of the market is actually for packaging, where the volumes are humongous compared to the volumes we talk about for capacitor films. So those manufacturers, there are really very few. I mean, I don't want to advertise somebody, but there is some who's very good, there's some who's good, and that's about it. And so you will find that they are bogged down by packaging film line orders substantially. Even though packaging film market today looks dicey when you look at the Indian situation, but tremendous capacity expansion continues in that segment, and which is why there is a very long delivery period. But having said long delivery period, just buying a machine does not give you the skill or the capability to produce a good dielectric films. You know, it's not like you buy a blender, you're not going to be a good cook and, well, at least I'm not going to be a good cook just because I bought a blender, right? So you need to know how to use that and turn out a good dish. which is exactly the situation, Romil, here in the case of making a good high-tech product, especially for the value-add business. Surely there will be competition, and as a principle, we encourage competition, but that makes life more challenging and fun. Having said that, let me tell you, Romil, again, that once the Barjora expansion and the new line at the RAK goes in, let me divert for one moment. We are already considered quality, product, innovation, development among the top handful of companies, and I mean one handful of companies in the globe. Where we take a hit is on capacity. Now, once we have these two lines in, we will be among the top handful, even in terms of capacity, in a non-China world. Now, fortunately or otherwise, there is definitely a China plus one philosophy which is all over the world. Plus, our focus is always going to be on the upper end of the applications and the upper end of the films rather than the commodities. You know, as you might have heard me earlier, a capacitor is there in your fan, bottom end. It's hardly a rigorous application. But that's also a capacitor film, also imported into the country, because at the end of the day, only 33% is available domestically. I don't want to be in that business of a simple bottom end film. You know, it goes all the way up. I would rather do a locomotive or a capacitor for an EV, which is where the challenge lies. Does that sort of answer your question, Romil?
Yeah, sure. Just a clarification. So that means globally, not a lot of capacity is coming up in the dielectric film in which we are expanding, right? Not a lot. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, there is capacity, of course. Yeah, I'll tell you something. There are, the point I was trying to make, which I didn't elaborate on, was that there are only a handful of good companies in this business. Other than China, which has a proliferation of companies, globally, you can probably count on one hand the established companies in this business. And you need to be rigorous, again, as I was explaining to Pranoy earlier, even a company which buys base film and metallizes it and sells the metallized product is selling a dielectric film. So you should need to distinguish between a base film manufacturer and a metallizer. You know, for example, a large Indian BOPP firm, a company, has announced that they're getting into dielectric films. But they're actually getting into metallizers, which is good for us because we would certainly tie up with them to sell them base films.
Okay.
Okay, Romil?
Got it, sir. Thank you so much and wish you good luck.
Thank you, Romil.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Naitik from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. So, sir, first, if you can help us with the EBITDA split between BIEX and COEX division for this year.
Sorry, I missed that. You wanted the?
EBITDA split between the BIEX and COEX division.
Interesting. Now, the EBITDA, the range for the dielectric films, as I have said earlier, and I'm sure I think we've met or earlier, the EBITDA split, EBITDA margins for the dielectric films, I'm not going to go into a very specific number, I'm going to give you a range, remains over 40%. The EBITDA margin for the other business, for the co-extruded sheets and films, is in the range of 5-6%, which is where it used to be. So it's sort of at the same level as it was through much of last year.
Even for current year, we have earned 5-6% margins in our BIEX division?
No, sir. You're talking 5-6 is the co-extruded films business.
Right. And even in the current year, we have earned similar margins?
Okay. That's right. The margins in fact, if I take Q4... In Q4, as I think I read out, actually, in Q4, it was a very interesting phenomena. Both the businesses did a higher EBITDA. But what happened was, the share typically the share of our coax business is of the two businesses, 1/3, 2/3, as you might recall from earlier.
Right.
In the fourth quarter, the share of the coax actually went up to a little over 70%. I'm not talking EBITDA share, I'm talking sale value share. Because of that, the EBITDA appeared to go down, whereas actually both individually the EBITDA went up.
Got it. And
it's just an arithmetical quirk that happened actually.
Right. And sir, if you can call out the volume for Biax division for this year.
The volume for this year, just give me a jiffy, I'll give you a sharper number. Biax, not coax. The Biax dispatches or the Biax sales was like in the earlier year very similar. It was 3,600 and something tons.
Got it, sir. And sir, if you can also give the capex guidance for FY25 and 26.
We have indicated one thing is what would happen by FY25-26 for sure. The existing line would be commissioned, the Barjora expansion would be commissioned and done, so the capex would have broadly been incurred. Now for the, in the 25-26, we should be working and should be close to or should have commissioned the other line in the Middle East. So that would be another 250 odd crores that we would have invested there. Through the subsidiary.
Right, got it, sir.
And we are toying with another line to go into a next level of technology and manufacturing process for the same application. But that would be beyond. That would be another year or so beyond.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, going back to the EBITDA question, so in this year on an absolute level, if you compare against FY23, our EBITDA has declined by 11-odd%, right? From 74 crore to about 66 crore. So if you can just help us understand which division hurt us more in this particular year?
Let me put it to you this way. If you really look at the EBITDA margin, it went down from 14.5-ish to 14.2-ish. So as a percentage, it's really not gone down so steeply.
Right. But our revenue grew, right? I mean, our revenue decline was lower, right?
Revenue declined for various reasons which I had mentioned to you.
Right. Got it.
No, revenue decline had multiple reasons. Since you asked the question, let me give you a sharper answer on that. One was raw material prices through much of the year were down. Now, my sales went down by 7.8%. Raw material prices were down circa 11%. Point one. Point number two, if you see the sales decline, something like 5 crores came out of the job work we did on the old packaging BOPP line which we sold off, remember? Which I had mentioned that. So that was another 5 crores. Thanks to the Red Sea situation, I have material worth almost 1.5 crore which sailed from India between January and March, which was on 31st March still on high sea, taking much longer. Accounting standards required that we didn't count that as sale. So there are some of these factors, of course sale went down, but much of it was, you remember, whether we take, in the coax business, we are selling prices directly linked to the raw material price. And that, you know, is 2/3 of our business. So when the raw material price went down 11%, straight away that would have had a direct impact and the price would have gone down.
Dhiresh here. Sir, coax, I understand. If you can, split the EBITDA for the full year.
You should kindly come in the queue for follow-up questions.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, I request you to kindly restrict your questions to 2 per participant. Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to 2 per participant. We have the next question from the line of Pradyuman Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. My first question is, if you can just give the revenue contribution for COEX and BIACS for the full year FY24.
You want the revenue split? Give me a jiffy. Excluding respective other income, which both of the divisions have, shall I just give it to you product-wise? Because we have multiple product in this quest, but give me a jiffy.
Sure.
If the dielectric film sales were 146 against 156. The coax, the sheets and liners, and let me add the film to it, was 255 and 60, was 311 against a little bit against 340. There was another operating income of about 4.5 crores against 4 crores.
So, for the BIACS division, why was there a revenue decline?
Sir, at the end of the day, polymer prices determine the selling price. It could be an immediate impact, or it could be a formula determined price adjustment for major customers. Now, as I mentioned to you, polymer prices went down approximately 11%, between 10 and 11, and I'm talking about polymer consumption, right? Not for stocking or something. So when the consumption went down 11%, we are a fair player. We are an intrinsically fair player, and we work on long term. So our principle is that the prices are adjusted when there are major swings in the raw material prices. Of course, that works both ways. And I think in the petrochemical related business, we have to respect that there will always be price fluctuations depending on various situations, including geopolitics.
Understood. Secondly, my top of the envelope calculation suggests that we haven't really seen a shift in realizations yet in terms of due to better product mix. Like, I'm accounting for this 10%.
I mean, I'm going to preempt your question surely in the interest of time, but let me make one thing clear to you, that this year I've had a zero capacity addition. In a zero capacity addition, my plant is firefighting all the time to balance customer load. So like it or not, I have to give a range of products to a regular customer from the bottom to the top. I mean, I can't sell a shirt with no button, right? So I have to give a package to many customers. So there is no way you can see that till capacity comes in. So my volumes are pegged at available capacity. My mix is determined, my value add or high value add to low value add product within the dielectric film framework is determined by the mix that a customer would need. I hope that clarifies your question.
Yes, yes, it does. And just one last question. Two questions. One is, since we are talking about starting production from the new line in Q3 onwards, so have we already received the machine, or when exactly is the machine coming?
The machine, let me tell you, these kind of equipment are massive numbers of containers, massive number of pieces. I mean, my guess is it would come in 50 to 60, 40-foot containers. Now, equipment comes in small bits, and yet bits have started arriving at the plant.
Okay, fine. And why are we going to the Middle East?
This is the operator, yes. Sir, would you kindly come back in the queue for follow-up questions?
Yeah, that was just the last question, then I'm done. Why are we going to the Middle East instead of setting the capacity in India itself?
Okay, there are many reasons. One, we are very clear that our product, our skills put together deserve a global standing. So we want to be in a place from where we can meet the US and European requirements conveniently. At the same time, if you are in a near a good port in the Middle East, you are practically in Western India, if I compare it with say a location like Bengal where we are today. So we are not losing a locational advantage. Importantly, India and the Middle East, India and the UAE have in place an FTA agreement called the SEPA, which allows free trade across. Notwithstanding that, I am going to be in a free zone in the UAE. So we are also hedging risks. And as you are aware, there is a big thrust to this India-Middle East corridor. I want to be one of the first utilizers or one of the early utilizers of the benefits of that corridor, which I think is a near reality now. Both our end and the Middle East are very, very seriously working it. When I say our end, I mean our government are working very seriously at it. So we are hedging risks. We are going nearer a market. We are going to places where in the long term energy should be stable. I will not say polymer availability will be easy because this is a special polymer. May or may not be available, but it's not available in India either. And I'm not even sure if it's available easily in the Middle East itself.
All right.
I hope that clarifies.
Yes.
Thank you. We have the next line of Manan Shah from Moneybee Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to understand why did we go ahead for such a large fundraise, because since 80-85% of the capex was going to be via supplier funding, supply credit, and we had already secured funds in the first round from Malabar for this capex. So what was the need for go for such a large fundraise?
Okay, let me. The answer would be very, very clear. 85% of the ECB supplier credit is supplier credit in the nature of ECB only takes care of the core line. Now, in this business, the core line is less than half the total project cost, and I emphasize less than half the total project cost. There are areas which I mentioned before that of the plant, which for example require extremely high purity inside, extremely high, highly pure air, clean air, as pure as you would find in an ICU. All these things add to cost. There are downstream equipment which are very expensive, and because we are handling an extremely thin film, even 6 micron is extremely thin, huh? Let me emphasize that. Somebody asked me what was the split. 6 micron is as difficult to handle as is a very, very thin film. Gets more and more difficult, of course. So all those equipment are expensive. So the idea was that we are not going to be facing any delay or anything in this project implementation for want of funds. Our cash generation looks strong enough to have supported it without these raises. But nonetheless, remember, cash generation comes in as each unit starts operation, whereas my spend would be earlier. So it was a timing that we wanted to capture on. And apart from these two, we are toying with one more. So we thought, let's see whether that makes sure that we can cover it. All that said, we also wanted to make sure that we were done with the raise well before political uncertainties of the election kicked in. I mean, everybody assumes foregone conclusions, but as risk management in the business, I have to assume that anything can happen.
Okay, understood.
Does that answer you, sir?
Yeah, that answers my question. Thank you. My next question was the lead time from the supplier, which you had earlier indicated, that lead time still maintains at those levels, or there has been some contraction or elongation?
I'll tell you what, there are marginal improvements. And I emphasize marginal, and why those marginal improvements are there are simply because offtake on packaging lines has gone down a little bit or is going down other than commitments, because I'm sure you are aware, all of you all monitor the polyester film business in India, for example. I think you're all aware of that position, right? I mean, the cyclicity of that market. So that being in the downward, in the down cycle now, I think there is a little bit of room available, but those are only tweaking out months out of a vendor rather than tweaking out years.
Okay, understood. And just lastly, the Chinese manufacturers, do they also source the machinery from the same supplier, or they are largely Chinese made machines?
No. I mean, the core equipment, I think they don't have a choice.
Okay.
They might take some of the downstream locally. Now you might choose to have, I mean, you there's a lot of downstream equipment to it. Now you could have lower cost, inferior, not necessarily inferior also, let's say lower cost downstreams. But when you are aiming for the a super product, for a super application, we would not cut corners on those. Surely there are certain things which may be good out of China. I mean, even some of these big German players, etc., they have operations in China where they make some of their components. That is still Chinese, although manufactured by them in China. So there is, but for the core line, there is no Chinese alternate.
Understood.
Or any other alternate.
Okay. Fair point. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have the next question on the line of Gaurav Agarwal from 91 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if I may just pass on one feedback. I've been trying to fix my meeting with you since the last 4 months, being in touch with the investor relations agency also. But sir, somehow I'm not able to secure a meeting. So sir, would be very, very grateful if you guys can, you know, accommodate half an hour kind of a time slot.
Gaurav, let me answer that right away. Yes, I'll ask the Orient Capital to fix a meeting at the first opportunity. The only thing I would like to mention is that, yes, we have not been able to meet everybody who wanted to meet us. Fortunately, there have been, the interest has been very, very strong. That said, I'm sure you will also appreciate that we spent our time on making sure we were delivering on time rather than, you know, diverting our attention. But
not, this is the first priority, definitely. No. But just to get your, you know, if it is possible for you guys, then we'll be definitely happy to come over.
I'm coming to a specific. Where are you based?
Sir, I'm based very near to you. I'm in Gurgaon.
Oh, you're in Gurgaon. I'll tell you what. If you can share your number, definitely in the next 10 days we will meet.
Thank you, sir.
Hello.
The participant has dropped from the queue, sir. We will move on to the next question. We have the next question on the line of Mr. Tej Patel from Nivshai. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So, sir, you know, since in the start of the call, you were discussing about the, you know, the value added films versus, let's say, the films which are used for normal application. And hello. Hello. Am I audible?
Just give us a moment. It seems.
Can hear you, but I'm getting.
I think there's some. Yeah. Yeah, now it's okay. So, sir, I was saying, sir, what would be, let's say, in your previous call, you said the demand for the dielectric films in India is about 15,000 tons, right? So, give an approximate split between what would be, let's say, the, you know, high usage of those films in a high-end application versus, let's say, a normal films?
Let me put it to you this way. That is actually extremely sensitive information from a marketing perspective. But let me add to that another rider. We sell a film for use by the capacitor manufacturer to make a capacitor. When he shares with me the information on his application, you will appreciate it's under very strong confidentiality clauses. So I cannot actually share my customer's information to the public domain. So perhaps I'll have to beg to be excused from answering that question.
Okay, sir, no problem. And sir, you said that our...
Which firm were you from? I missed the name.
Sorry, sir. Tej.
Which firm are you from?
Niveshaay.
Niveshaay. Okay.
Yeah. Sir, and one more question. You said that our line would be first line would be coming in the third quarter, right?
Right.
So how much utilization do you see for this financial year and for the same line in the next financial year?
Okay. I'm not going to hazard a number on that, but I can tell you that startup times and reaching a high utilization level are not very time consuming. Not that one will be able to produce at 100% on day one. All machines need to be run in, so one will run it slower first, one would run it on easier products first. So those are normal process, but I will not at this time like to make a projection on how many tons we will produce in this year.
Got it. No problem, sir. And sir, so I guided you said that, you know, we will start with producing a model, you know, 6 micron film on our newer line too, but then still on an average, how much delta do you expect between the price, between the films you are making on the current line versus the new line?
Well, the new line has a capability to go down till below 2 micron. So if you produce more and more of the thinner films, then that the weighted average price would go downwards. The idea is to cater to thinner films, and the idea is to cater to new applications as they develop. To begin with, it will be a very similar average price.
Okay, got it. And sir, when are we expecting our second line to come in the UAE in the next financial year?
UAE line is targeted for implementation and operation in 25-26. Tail end. Third quarter, fourth quarter. Third quarter types, 25-26.
Seems like the question is at the queue. In the interest of time, this would be our last question. I would like to hand it over to Mr. Bhaskar for the closing remarks.
Thank you all for joining us. I have noted with actually not too much of happiness the comment made by one of our participants that if we couldn't schedule a physical meeting, we will correct that and make sure we have a meeting with you also. That said, I would like to once again thank each one of you for joining us today. We at Expro are committed to consistently offer superior quality products backed by exceptional services to exceed customer expectations, aim towards making us an industry leader. That said, we also aim to make sure that we have a very open information sharing to the extent permitted by business circumstances with the investor community. So feel free to contact Orient Capital, our advisors, our investor relations partners, or any of us, and to the extent we can share information, we most certainly will. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Expro India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.